She saw that this his feasting was set just right. She noticed that his servants and his ministers carried themselves with a certain dignity. She's noticed that his words and the house which he built. But most of all, she noticed that he went up to the house of the Lord. She recognized that Solomon's greatness and power was not independent of the fact that he went up and ascended, made ascent to the house of the Lord. His direct greatness was a result of his ascent into the house of the Lord. When Solomon was in this right place, there was no one who could compare to him. Now we all know the story didn't end so well, but for this point, we want to just appreciate the fact that Solomon, and as he starts out, he leads, ascends up into the house of the Lord. Everything that surrounds him was just right. And for the Queen of Sheba, it was beyond her ability to take it all in. It says her spirit went from her. And then she confesses in verse 6, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the word until I came, and my eyes had seen. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard." She had heard. And she had heard that something is going on there in Israel. She had heard that there were the greatest and the wisest king in all of the land. She had heard. And in hearing these things, she sought to explore them. And I hope that's our desire too. Is that we have heard about the warfare. We have heard what we are engaged in. We have heard about the resources that are available to us. We heard that they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But do we want to go further? Do we want to go further just like this queen who said, "I want to see it for myself"? And so she comes and she witnesses it for herself, and she says she didn't believe the words, and now she saw it, and she says, "Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame which I had heard." I had heard it, but now I see it, and they couldn't even tell it the way it exactly was. And here's the verse that I want us just to perhaps focus on. It says in her testimony, "Happy are thy men." Happy are thy men. And then he says, "Happy are thy servants." You know, we just closed the reading on the thought of what it means to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Paul says, "I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I would rather have no other position than to be a servant of Jesus Christ." And we're going to come back to that point. But she says, "Happy are thy men, happy are thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." I just want to make a couple of applications as we just review the story. If we want to see what this looks like, what does it look like as we who are servants, who have been conscripted, we who are to be engaged in this warfare, what is it that should look like? It's this testimony of the Queen of Sheba. "Happy are thy men. We have been made children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We are no longer the children of disobedience. We have been brought from darkness into light. We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love." You ought to be a happy people. He says, "We who we pass from death unto life." We have the privilege of being connected with and associated with the Son of God's love. And so one of the characteristics that should mark is we should be happy people. Happy is that man who knows that his iniquities have been pardoned. We know that we've been forgiven, and so we ought to be a happy people. He says, happy are thy servants. You know, we serve someone. There was a popular song back in the day, you gotta serve someone. And either we're going to serve ourselves, our own agendas, and we are going to give in to the enticements and temptations of the enemy. And the Bible is very interesting. It tells us that when we sin, we become enslaved to that sin. And it binds us and it ties us down. Another way it says it is that when we sow to the flesh, it reaps corruption. And then when it's finished, it brings forth death. And so this idea is I'm going to serve someone. I'm going to either serve myself. I'm going to serve a selfish agenda. I am not going to surrender the thoughts or bring them captive to the obedience of Christ, and the consequences will follow. But on the flip side of that, we can submit as servants of the Lord. And we will know his beneficence. We will know his great grace. We will know his strength that he enables us. We will be like Paul and says, I am a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I live to serve him. And what does she say? She says, happy are thy servants. Oh, we need an agenda. We need a program for what we can get behind. And one of the things a servant does, he has no agenda. His goal is to serve his master. When the Bible uses the word servant, it's not the way we think of servant who's hired and is paid. No, it's used in the term of someone who was a slave, someone who had no will of his own. His will was simply imposed by his master. And we have the most beneficent master. We have the great shepherd. We have the great Lord Jesus who presses us into his service, and we are his servants, but he serves in such a way that causes us to be happy, that we can be engaged in something that is greater than ourselves. You see, when we look at the fact that happy are thy men, that's what we've been made. We've been made the sons of God. We've been made the children of God. But then we have an opportunity to be the servants of our Lord, to do his bidding. You see, one of the things that affects me and affects you, I'm sure, is that we get up every day, and if we don't think about what we're going to be doing, if we don't think about where we're going, life becomes meaningless. And one of the things that is something that can bring us rejoicing and make us happy is to know that he has pressed us into his service, and we live to serve him. And as we live to serve him, the characteristic is, happy are those thy servants who serve the Lord.